Welcome back to the Sneak Disc Podcast, your weekly podcast on sneaker culture, sports, and other nonsense. This is your guy Ryan, along with the homies Greg and George. Follow us on Twitter at @_SneakDisc. Get at us on our Instagram at @TheSneakDisc. Follow us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, or find the podcast streaming on YouTube or the website, which is updated daily, thesneakdisc.com. Now, to the Sneak Disc.
Follow us or else.
Episode six of the Sneak Disc. It's the guy Greg in the building.
Are we sure this time?
Yes, it's recording this time.
No. What number it is?
This is six. All right. This is episode six. We got my guy Ryan in the building as usual. We got the general manager, GM George Martin, back in the building.
Hey.
We have two special guests in the building right now. Please introduce yourselves.
My name's Steve.
Yeah,
she's good.
She's shining. Good. All right, it's all good. So, Snapchats, IGs, Snapchat, Twitters, anything?
Yeah, everything is Reshuvenator. So, like, I guess I should spell it. It's R-E-S-H-O-E, V as in Victor, N as in Nancy, the number 8, and then R.
Okay. Cool, sounds good. So, as you guys might be able to tell, our listeners right now, we'll be doing an interview today with Reshuvenator. It's a local company. I hear that's definitely doing something for the culture, providing, you know, great products to definitely take care of our sneakers. Before we get into that, real quick, fellas, any new pickups, new sneakers, new buys? Anybody?
Did you pick up anything this week, Steve?
Yeah, I got the Pinnacle 4s off somebody.
Oh, okay.
How much?
Good deal?
I got a pretty good deal on it.
Okay. I actually bought some Vachetta Tan 1s today.
After we just talked about it last week, for
$150
ran out immediately.
I thought you were giving up sneakers.
I'm giving them up for Lent next year.
I grabbed Prime Knit Novas from End and UK.
Which one?
The black and white one. The one that keeps selling out. Not the all black ones. I mean, the black ones are cool, but I was gonna wear them today, but tried them on and I actually don't like them. So
really.
But, you know, it is what it is. You know, we'll find the right pair of jeans, the right pair of shorts, or something like that. Any L's this week? We take any L's? I didn't take any L's this week. I didn't really try to buy too much.
No?
I mean, I actually
ordered. Not much came out.
Nothing really came out. I actually ordered those shoes twice in state and got canceled twice. One that's canceled my pair. I don't know what's up with Oneness.
Oneness is the worst customer.
Finish Line pay you back yet?
No. Finish Line still has my money from all my orders they canceled. It's been about a month. And, of course, I call them, and they have, like, the slowest people on earth answering the phone. So
I got you for, like, $800.
They're – hey, man, my wife's listening. Chill. So, hopefully, you know, every time I call them, they're like, you know, ask your bank. But I'm going to tell you, them banks, well, they don't care. They have no answers, all right? So that's why my pickups this week are a little light, all right, because my money is
– I guess it's time to call the bank and tell them it was fraud.
Hey, man, you said it, not me. So, let's get right into it. Reshuvenator.
No problem.
So, tell us about yourself. Where you from?
My name's Steve. I'm from Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
I'm now residing in Phoenix, obviously. Been into sneakers for a long time and, you know, had the idea to come up with this product and kind of just taking it from there. So.
It was funny because I was actually wondering. I was like, man, I asked Ryan. I said, well, he was in contact with you guys. I was like, man, make sure they're in the sneakers. Like, I was like, it might just have a business.
Yeah.
You know, just maybe I was like, man, it's good to know that somebody selling sneaker products is actually in the sneakers. So.
I mean, I'm not crazy like some people.
Right.
But, like, yeah, I've always been into sneakers.
He's crazy?
We have a shoe room.
Well, you need to have a shoe room. Yeah.
These two have shoe rooms. Yeah. I have a...
You got to.
I mean, I have a walk-in closet. I mean, it's... It's pretty much the entire closet.
Yes, yeah, so my closets are small, so you need a room.
I try to limit it to about 75 pairs at a time. I don't anything over than that is. Never
I need to do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, so you guys?
You got a lot of work.
You got a lot of work.
Oh, okay. Are you guys married or girlfriend? No. Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
It's my girlfriend works for Reshuvenator.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I'm like, she's talking about the shoe room. I said, oh, okay. You know. All right. So you know, how'd the company start? You know.
I mean, I basically was cleaning some shoes to sell on eBay and had the idea. I'd been cleaning shoes a specific way, using a laundry system for putting them in the washing machine. So I brought in basically a before and after. We cleaned one using the sneaker laundry system, and that's the other one. So we just did that. The video will be up on YouTube probably this week, I think.
Yeah, we'll put some pictures on ours too. So this is so explain like the process then. So you deep clean it with the product first.
So yeah, the process is you insert the adjustable shoe trees, and then what that's going to do is maintain the form while they're in the washing machine.
Mm-hmm.
You take the brushes that we provide. Mesh material requires a suede brush, one of our hog bristle premium brushes, so you don't mess up the material. And then you pre-treat them with our solution, put them in the sneaker laundry bag, which is going to be in here, and then you basically put them in the washing machine and wash on cold. Pull them out and let them dry. So the whole time they're in the washing machine, these shoe trees are maintaining the form, minimizing creases, so on and so forth. So,
okay. And then,
so these were worn for hiking or something, obviously.
They're not my personal shoes, but they were definitely worn for something. I honestly didn't think they'd turn out that good. I didn't think they'd get from this dingy to that clean. And that's one cleaning, so.
Okay. We'll put some pictures up for people, obviously, listening and can't see, so you can tell the difference. It's pretty remarkable.
And then one thing that I noticed on some of your videos, I think the ones I was watching with Vic, was the cleaning of the suede and being able to reset that nap. Like, that's something that really only you guys offer a product for.
Yeah. Just doing this so much and really caring about the products that we put out, I found a way to reset the nap on suede, and it's a specific brush. It's a brass bristle brush. The bristles are much finer, so it allows that material to it basically combs it out. So it'll go from a hard stiff to a soft butter feel again.
Okay. How long did it take you to perfect the product?
I mean, I've been cleaning shoes for, I'm almost 40, so since I was 12, so a long time.
Right. Yeah. All right, and just trial and different
error
products.
Yeah, just trial and error, right. And that's the thing with Rejuvenator. I just wanted to offer products that were the most effective out of any products on the market.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, people want to take care of their shoes, and
that's a big investment.
Yeah.
How long you guys been started?
We started, really getting going in 2012, but I came up with the idea in 2010.
Basically. Okay. Was it a difficult process to get going, get started, and everything like that?
I thought it would be a lot easier.
Really?
Yeah. I just had the idea, came up with the name, started doing the patent stuff, trademark. I mean, it's not my background, so it was a steep learning curve for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, which is kind of funny, talking about the patents and everything like that. What actually separates your product from all the other products out there?
Really, it's the sneaker laundry system. So anyone can sell brushes and a cleaner. That's why there's so many people that have that product. Okay. We have a patent actually on the sneaker laundry system itself, so no one else can put this together and sell it.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. So that's the other reason I came out with it. If it was just cleaner and a brush, I mean, anyone can do that. It's nothing special to me about that. So this is what I came out with first. And then since then, we've been able to add multiple products.
Okay.
And and how much does the cleaning system go for on the website?
It's $30, $29.98.
I actually was on the website and I seen a bigger
so we
laundry
got a,
kit.
We got a two shoe, which comes with two pairs of shoe trees, two sneaker laundry bags, an 8-ounce cleaner instead of a 4, and then an all purpose brush, suede brush, sole brush, and a towel. So that's pretty much everything you would need.
Okay.
And that's one of our best-selling products, too. And then we have an Ultimate, which gives you basically everything we offer. All the brushes, towels, 4 pairs of shoe trees, 4 sneaker laundry bags, sneaker wipes, pretty much everything we have. The brass bristle brush.
Can you wash multiple at a time?
Yeah. Okay. You can do about 4 at a time.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does it matter how long the length of actually washing them?
Depends on how dirty they are.
Okay.
So really I do it a short cycle. If they're really dirty, we've done a pair of Legend Blues and Concords, and it took 2 washes. The first wash, looked at them, they were still kind of dingy in that mesh area, so I just reset the washing machine, did them again, and they turned out perfect. So.
And now is this just with, this is using your solution though, in the washing machine?
No. So this is the pre-treat, and then you actually use, we recommend liquid laundry detergent.
Oh, okay.
Just a small amount.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds good. So when you guys actually, excuse me, so when the product was actually like being developed, mm-hmm. like did it go through like rigorous tests? Because I always have this notion that like, I mean, we're all a certain age. Like you said, you're almost 40. I'm in mid-30s.
George turns 55 next year.
So we are, I've never, I mean, you get to a point to where like, you get to an age where like you just don't mess up your shoes. Like you yeah. have your certain shoes that you work, go to the gym in, that you go hiking, yeah. you go running. So I've always, you know, anytime that I've actually messed up my shoes, I've been like really scared to go buy a product and use it because I was like, gosh, like it's typically the suede ones I worry about. And I worry about like putting that product on because I've bought some bad ones from like, you know, Robert Wayne and places yeah. like that, and it changed the material and the well, color as well.
And unfortunately, every shoe has different materials, so it's really hard. You have to be careful when you're clean. Like, some shoes you just can't clean. There's nothing you can do.
Really?
Oreo 5s, can't clean them. You get that water, you get that material wet, it's ruined.
It's done.
What is the Oreo 5 material?
That's the it's like a suede, like a black
nougat
oh, suede.
They just use crappy material. It's synthetic. It's
yeah. Oh, really? Oh, it's not even suede on those?
It looks like it. Once you get it wet, it's done.
So that's like the same for the black grapes then too, right?
No, that's more
that's
of
different?
A, yeah, that's more of a nubuck. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought the black grapes and the Oreo 5s. I mean, the black grape 5s and Oreo 5s were like the same.
No, I think it's a slightly different material because we haven't had any issues with the grape.
Oh, okay.
So I think they call it new suede or something like that these days.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that is a good point because, I mean, I'm sure you're on social media too, Steve, but I see posts all the time of people asking for help because they put a product on their shoe and ruined it.
Yeah.
And you spend, you know, $200-$400 on a pair of shoes. You wear it 3-4 times, clean it, and it's done.
And unfortunately, unless you test it or we always highly recommend people calling us
yeah.
or texting us or emailing us and sending us photos so they can – you know, request advice prior to cleaning.
Okay.
I mean, we're really big on customer service. We're the only shoe cleaning brand that answers all questions on social media. The other companies, they don't take the time to do that.
Yeah. That's good.
And it's more than a full-time job. That's kind of what Katie does right now. So, and it's nonstop.
Well, I will say Katie's very good at her job because I think I had a response back to my inquiry within about an hour. Yeah, maybe an hour.
Well, that's good.
So,
I mean, customer, you know, at the end of the day, there's multiple brands. They're all pretty good.
Yep.
You know, the leading brands make a quality product, so you have to give good customer service or else they're going to keep flipping around. You know
absolutely.
What I mean?
So is there a different product for the laces or do you leave the laces in the shoe? How does that work? Because a lot of times, you know, people recommend taking the laces out when you throw something in the washing machine.
That depends on how dirty the laces are or the tongue. So depending on how dirty they are, I will – if I want to clean the tongue underneath them, I'll take them out so I can scrub that. For laces, it's the suede brush as well. And then the trick that we use – dip it in the solution and then rub it between your hands. Put them in the bag with the, you know, in this bag. With
separate
the
from the, okay, yeah. So take them out. Gotcha.
Cool. So the dirtier they are, you know, you kind of want to take them out.
Do you have to avoid the, like, 3M on the sneakers? You know, a lot of sneakers have the 3M. Like, do you have to avoid putting it? Okay. And it just comes out just fine?
Yeah. It's 3M you can't really clean, though, so it's not going to do much to it. Okay. I mean, once that gets worn, it's more worn than anything, but it's pretty much impossible to clean.
Yeah, so she said about the brushes, because I did look on the site, I noticed you guys had like three different brushes, and one of them was a brass brush?
Yep.
And you use that on the suede?
That's to reset the nap. So the brass brush is, it's probably, it's the coolest brush we have, because it does multiple things. It resets the nap on suede for dry brushing. So you'd clean your shoes. This suede would feel like stiff or hard.
Okay.
And once it's completely dry, you would brush the nap and reset it. Or you can use it to clean soles because the fine bristles really get into the pores of the plastic or rubber and clean it better than, I mean, anything else. Our sole brush works great, but if this doesn't work, it'll really, yeah, if you feel the difference in the three pieces.
Oh, okay.
So what's the product right here that you have in the box? Does that come with that tube that you have here?
So that's basically we call it our quick clean method. That's if you don't want to use – a lot of people are afraid of the washing machine.
Right.
Yeah.
So for the people that don't want to use this laundry method, this is something we just released. Comes with all three brushes and our solution. And we really want – our customers to have all three brushes because it makes the cleaning process more effective. It just makes the end result that much better.
So the sole one is like just for the bottom of the shoe?
Soles, midsoles, unpainted midsoles. So, you know, you don't want to go scrape and scrubbing really hard on a painted midsole because you're going to take the paint off. So there has to be some common sense, unfortunately.
So does, should people be aware of that, or do you just recommend them contacting you first? Because if I would scrub a Oreo 4 or something. And
we recommend checking out the videos on our YouTube channel.
I will say this. If there's anybody who is at a master of marketing as Rejuvenator, like, you guys everywhere.
Yeah.
I can't go through any... I can't even scroll through my timeline on any social media without a video starting up of something happening.
Yeah, that was something we were just talking. I was like, you're the guy responsible for me seeing 800 Rejuvenator ads on YouTube
all the time.
I mean, you got to remind people, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
People have to see it numerous times. And that's the other reason I came out with it, because I'm the most skeptical person in the world. And I thought if I would buy this, there have to be other people that would be interested.
Absolutely.
In it.
Oh, definitely. So, I mean, that's almost like the basis for our podcast. I mean, our podcast is basically revolves around sneakers and things like that. And we're like, as many people lose their minds over sneakers and buy and camp and clean and
crazy.
Do everything, there's no podcast for sneakerheads. So we were like, this is something that we wanted to put together. Yeah. So, and definitely one thing that we wanted to do is focus on helping out local people. We want to talk to local people first. I mean, Arizona.
I see the Manor hat on.
That's right. Yeah,
we did go there. We went there this past weekend. You know, good shop, you know, so we're definitely interested in like doing stuff like that first. And, you know, hopefully we're still growing and things like that. But it's good to see like local products and things like that for sneakerheads.
Well, I'm glad you guys are doing it.
But which was another question I have, because we always see you guys at like all the sneaker conventions. Uh-huh. And then you guys have like the biggest booth and setup I've ever seen. All right. And the vans that are wrapped and everything like that. Do those sneaker conventions like actually help to sell product, or more of just to get the name out there? Because that setup, you guys, it's a hard setup and breakdown that you guys do.
Yeah. I mean, it's hit or miss.
Hit or miss?
So there's companies out there that have been that have it perfected, I should say, and they know which cities, and they have it down to where it's a science. I mean, they really do it well. And then there's some people that put them on that, you know, they're not quite as successful. So it's a little bit both. Branding, obviously, it's your target audience. Right. So the only people that are going there are sneakerheads and people that are interested in sneakers. So you want to get in front of them. And then some shows that, you know, you can make some money at them. So, you know, it really depends. We pick and choose. We don't travel far unless it's going to be worth it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What makes it worth it? Like,
just the amount of attendees and how well the show's prepared, you know, because the more prepared they are. Some of them are just seamless. You go to them. Sneaker Con is one of them. You go to it. They know what they're doing. They set it up right. There's no issues. It's always the same. And they get attendees. I mean, they get people going to them. So.
Yeah, which is funny because, you know, we attend a lot of the stuff locally here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even on our website, we put up sort of a sneaker convention etiquette type thing. Mm-hmm. Because in Arizona, it's... You know, the sneaker culture is...
It's different.
It's different. It's different. One day it's like, you feel like, man, we're really doing something. And the next, you feel like it's just a random collection of people who like into it for a little while. Then it just kind of fades away. And then it becomes just like the largest group of resellers ever. Then you just never know what you're going to get. And even at like the sneaker events that do happen locally, you'll have one year where you go and it's packed to the wall. Like you can't even move. And then you'll go the very next year. And it's a ghost town in there sometimes, you know.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't put on shows.
Right.
We did once in Tucson, and I'll never do it again because it's a lot of work. It's pain in the butt.
How was a Tucson show?
It wasn't worth talking about.
Really?
I mean, we had some people come down, but it was our first event. We just did it just because we're from Tucson. We wanted to try it, but it was more trouble than good.
Really?
So what's the furthest that you will travel for a show?
I mean, we go to New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that show's 15,000 people.
That's heavy.
There's 4,000 or 5,000 people in line 3 hours before the show is going on. I mean,
I heard Florida's kind of like that in Chicago a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago's good. All the major cities. I mean, the busiest shows, I would say, New York, D.C., Chicago's pretty good. East Coast, they're just different.
More residents packed into a smaller place too.
I mean, people are walking in those places, so they're not in their cars as much. They want to look good while they're walking around the town.
That's definitely true.
So what's your most important social media? Is it YouTube because of the videos for cleaning and whatnot? Or
I mean, without giving too much information away, I would say combine Instagram and YouTube. But then again, all of them really. They all serve a different purpose.
Right.
So, I mean, I think you got to touch on all of them. You got to stay up to date on that stuff. Like, we actually need to get involved in a few different ones, because if you're not ahead of the curve, you're just...
Different social media sites? Or
yeah.
So really? We're shooting at your Snapchat coming soon.
I mean, we have one, but we're not as active on there as we should be.
Yeah.
Really? You know?
So...
Yeah, that's... I haven't ventured off in this. I don't know. Too many social medias for me. I feel like I got to get rid of one if I start up another one.
I mean, I hear you. It's like sneakers. It's a full-time job.
Mm-hmm. Right. But see, it's actually your job. It takes away time from me.
Me too. I'm not big as on a personal level. I don't... Right. I got to force myself to do it just because, you know, I'm part of a brand.
I know. I feel more... I get angry when I look on social media. Like, some of the stuff people say and do, I'm just more... You know, we just, like, started the IG thing for our podcast, mm-hmm. and I'm actually kind of liking that a lot more. It's just a picture. You might see some ridiculous comment or something here and there, or a ridiculous video or something, but it's actually better than, like, seeing, like, actual people's opinions and, like, thoughts sometimes.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, what's funny is I was on IG. I seen you doing the video with the soul protectors, mm-hmm. I believe. How popular is that?
I mean, they're pretty popular.
Really?
I mean, if you think about it, if you understand what they're made for, they make sense, because you're not going to put them on a pair of shoes like these. You're going to put them on that expensive. Yeah, it's not for everyday wear. It's for shoes that you're going to wear, and you want to keep the investment up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You got a $1,000 pair of sneakers, and you know if you wear them five times and the sole gets kind of messed up, that, you know, you're going to lose some money. You put that on, they look brand new still. So it makes sense for the right shoe and the right person.
Okay.
So you're saying this is an outsole protector. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know you guys had that product. That's cool. Right on.
Yeah, is that your newest product? Or?
Because
I hadn't seen it before. Like, even at the shows, and I'd never seen it until I seen a video on IG.
Oh, really?
You were, like, sitting on a couch, I think.
Yeah.
I was like, the heck is this?
Wait, is that the one where you, like, step on that on the roll of plastic? Or is that, am I thinking of something else? There was a video I saw where you, like, step on the plastic and it tears off to the shape of the shoe or something like that. Does it work?
Yeah, you put the shoe on it and cut and trace it.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, that was a different video then.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's people are buying it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I never thought of that. I'm just like, once the bottom gets dirty, I feel like everybody should be understanding.
Well, I mean,
I guess if you want to sell it as like, I mean, you know the sneakerhead terms, DS, very near DS and all that. I mean... Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see it definitely for a Yeezy, because, like, the boost on the bottom of my Yeezy is thrash. Actually, my Yeezys are thrash.
Garbage after you wear them five or six times. It's unbelievable. It's because they painted the bottom. Yeah, they look like crap. So that's – I mean, I don't personally use them on many shoes just because, to me, I wear them and I don't really care.
Okay. Shoes are to be worn, people.
Yeah, so – but, you know, these kids that are making money and – You know,
definitely.
Some people are doing it for a business. So if they're flipping shoes and they want to wear them a couple times and get their money back, I don't.
Well, and actually, to your point of like painted bottoms, that's like one of the biggest problems you see with custom shoes, mm-hmm. is you wear it once and the paint's gone. People do like a Yeezy custom, that paint is gone after first wear. So that'd probably be huge for custom shoes and protecting that paint that you've done.
Vic Almighty, he works with us now. He puts them on his customs.
Yeah, we actually know some of his work, and he does, like, really good work. Really good work. And, you know, I never thought about that, you know, because every time I see somebody with a custom and they do that bottom, and I'm like, why would you do that? It's going to be gone eventually. So I guess that does make sense for that. How many does it come with? Because I seen it, and I was like, gosh, if you do
it's
it
a pair,
once.
Just two sheets.
Really?
So it'll do one pair of shoes up to size 13.
How long does it last on the bottom?
I mean, it depends on how often, how hard you are on them. I mean, I had them on a pair of 350 Boosts, and I wore them pretty much all day, every day for a week when I was traveling. And they're still on there, but they're starting to crack. So,
really?
I mean, it's for occasional wear.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's to put on those...
Don't go hooping in it.
You're going to lose some traction.
Don't play golf in it, Mr. Sixes.
Hey, man, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, man. But no... definitely Rejuvenator or something. Like, I actually bought the Defender spray.
Yep.
And I'll be honest with you, I haven't used it yet because I was kind of scared.
Wait, hold on. Explain what it is, since you're talking about you bought it.
Well, the water repellent, stain repellent, things like that. I bought it from Ben had those.
Okay.
Shout out to Charles.
And
Hopefully he'll be on the show soon.
Yeah, we got to get him down.
And see, I bought it, and, you know, I looked at the can, and I'm reading it, and I'm just like.
So you're talking about pre-treating, yeah, correct? Pre-treating. Okay, all right. You got to be clear about this.
What shoes are you looking
for? I bought them specifically for Blue Cruz, Victor Cruz's.
Okay.
And I was just like, oof. Like, I've bought products like that before where, like, but last time I actually put, like, a spray on like that was – man, like probably, I'm gonna go two.
Hat spray.
Oh,
hat spray.
I know you remember that hat spray on Fitteds.
Well,
no one wears Fitteds anymore.
Too, well, Hat Club, they throw the spray on for like a dollar or something, so I'm not spraying it. But like, I always worry about the amount I put on, like how far away I am, like how often do you need to do it? Or like, is like one enough? Like,
I mean, then again, it depends on the shoes.
And it's for, like, the suede, too, right?
It works really well on suede.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just get really worried that, like, it's going to smooth out because I bought some from a shop and sprayed it and, you know, put it in the garage, let it dry. It came out, my suede was, like, smooth.
You got to get that brush and reset the nap on it. Then.
I did a lot of testing before we went with this particular product. So, yeah. It works really well on suede. I mean, it's like anything. Certain shoes need a little bit more application than others, but it really does help from staining. If you're not going to wear your shoes that much, it'll last 6 months before you got to put it on again.
I know. Well, a part of the allure of it was that, like, I want to spray it and then I want to, like, pour chocolate on it or something. I want to see it work. Like, I want to actually see it work. Like,
well, you have 27 pairs of those Blue Cruises, so that's one shoe you can do it with. Well, don't do it to the red ones.
Those crazy sneakerheads you're talking about, that's literally us. Like,
we have customers that do that. They'll order and they'll pour, like, syrup on their shoes. Personally, yeah. I wouldn't recommend doing that.
Okay. But,
I mean, if you really want to, give it a few coats.
Right.
If you're going to be using chocolate. I did my Yeezy 2, my Platts, and I was nervous.
Really?
Nervous. But we wanted to do the video, so, you know, I just went with it. And I put about 5 coats on those just because I didn't know. And we poured ketchup or chocolate. Came right off. No problem. Right. Yeah.
So does it just roll off, or you actually have to wash it off?
No, it just rolls off. Yeah, I mean, depending on where you put it, it'll sit there, and then you just spray it with water. I did my 750 Boost and the Platts, and it worked fine.
I actually like to hear that you use your own shoes, because...
Oh, yeah, yeah. You have to.
Yeah.
I would have been on a Chinese website ordering fakes to do that test.
I would have tried it on my, like, shoes I cut the grass in or something. I would have looked for some.
So I did that first.
Okay, that's good.
So how does this product, the cleaner, work if you have that pre-treater on there? Does it matter? Or?
I mean, it's going to clean them better just because the stains haven't set into the material.
Okay.
So the cleaner,
gotcha. So it's okay to do that.
Yeah, then you just got to reapply it. So that's basic. People always ask, when do I reapply? Well, how often do you wear your shoes and how long do you wear them for? If you're wearing them for a couple hours, you don't have to apply it. Right. Very often at all. Mm. If you're wearing them all day for days, then you might have to apply it. And it doesn't repel dirt. Dirt's going to get on them. So once you clean them, you just reapply it. You know, so.
Anything upcoming or new for a shoe?
I mean, we got a couple. I mean, my vision is pretty big. So I won't get into exactly what we got going on. But, I mean, we have a couple new items that we want to launch this year.
Okay.
Right on.
You know, I just want to be the one-stop shop. Why go to 15 different websites when you just go to one and order everything?
I know, because...
Speaking of shopping, so how many different places can you buy it? Because you guys are in stores too, right?
Yeah, we're in stores. I think across the U.S. we might be in 90 locations.
Oh, wow.
It's really not that many, but internationally, I mean, we have distribution in, I was telling him, Taiwan, Hong Kong, China...
Lots of sneakerheads in
Malaysia,
Asia.
all over Asia. So,
so Rejuvenator is doing all right, then.
We're doing okay.
Doing all right.
Hey, they got those Vans. You heard his list of shoes that he owns. So, yeah, I would say he's doing all right.
He hasn't said nothing basic. I've been a 350, a 750, and a Platinum 2 Easy.
Well, exactly.
Half of those are thankfully for her because she buys them for me for my birthday or Christmas.
Oh, really?
I have a hard time spending $1,000 on a pair of shoes, to be honest with you.
Well, you're not the only one. He's the only one right here.
I don't go that big. Oh, I find those deals.
Yeah. So you ain't finding $50 Yeezys, buddy.
So you're into sneakers as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's kind of rare.
It's an expensive.
Oh, well, you looked at, you said the room like he's the problem. That's a joint venture.
It's an equal room.
Okay, so he's got 75. How many do you have? More?
Oh.
I try to keep. I said I tried to keep it at 75.
Oh, jeez, 75.
But I keep. That's my boxes. I have the display boxes, so I keep 75 of those, and I got some on the
side.
Yeah, that's one of those
everyday wears.
Talk about like this is the problem. Like with me personally with sneakers, like I won't wear any of them. We have so many that are like brand new DS. Yeah. They're just sitting there. But I just like the way they look in there. I just do. I like when I walk in the closet.
Looks cool.
And this side is strictly Jordan boxes.
And it looks like Foot Locker.
It just tight. And then like right in front of me is just like all the orange Nike boxes. And then above is like my Reeboks. And then
you still can't find stuff.
I'm in the mindset of right now is that like I'm just not in the Jordans anymore.
I'm really not either, to be honest.
I'm not.
They're not comfortable.
They're not. I feel like.
And they're hard to wear now.
They're just hard to wear. Like, I feel funny when I go with my wife and we go out to dinner or something and I'm going to be throwing a Jordan today. I feel ridiculous wearing a Jordan because, I mean, we're not hanging out at like, I mean, I love Chick-fil-A, but like, we're not, we like to go to nice restaurants. We like to go, you know, this is date night.
You don't got
to
tell
the kids, you know, we like to go to date night. So I feel crazy, you know, walking in wearing a Jordan 12 or 13 or anything like that. You know, I like to throw on like an ASIC or something a little low-key, a Yeezy 350 or something like that. But it's at the point to where it's just kind of like, gosh, like all these Jordans are just looking at me. I should buy something I'm wearing. Every week we say, oh, we're strictly wearing Air Maxes now. We're strictly wearing ASICs now. We're strictly wearing this now. And it just never happens. Like, I mean, what's your favorite sneakers to wear? What do you wear?
I mean, I'm on a Ultra Boost kick right now. So.
This is literally the Ultra Boost.
That's what I'm wearing right now, and they're dirty.
This is like the official Adidas
Ultra Boost podcast.
Hey, we got Wexler to respond to us on our podcast. So he's the marketing director for Adidas. Hey, man, this is like the official Adidas Boost podcast. I mean, that's all we wear. We wear Boost. It's like the greatest.
They're just so comfortable. You can't. There's no comparison.
Well, I'm glad that you said that because I was actually going to ask you. That is the hardest shoe I've ever owned to keep clean, ever. I bought the gray pair, and I have the white pair, but I've only worn them once because I'm afraid to wear them. But I wore the gray pair. My girlfriend and I took a trip to Sedona, and I just wore them around the day.
That's the place to mess
hiking. Oh, hiking in the Red Rocks.
We didn't even hike. We just walked on the street, but the Red Rock dust from Jerome and Sedona got all over my sneakers, and I have no idea how to clean them because I'm afraid to brush them because I'm afraid it's going to pull like some of the fabric apart or –
I mean, I'd have to see him to give you good advice, but.
And then I'm afraid to put the laundry, I'm afraid, you know, even with the laundry system, like, is it going to affect the Boost if I wash them?
It shouldn't.
I don't want it to deactivate my Boost.
It's not going to deactivate. But the foam Boost part, once it gets yellow, you can't clean it.
I mean, yeah.
Boost gets yellow?
It does yellow,
it's
an
issue right here for these to get yellow, and then there's nothing you can do about it.
Are you wearing, which one, are those the Pure Boost? Oh, the NMDs? Yeah, because I have a pair of the first Pure Boosts that came out like 3 years ago, the gray pair. And yeah, it's starting to
I've
turn.
I've never seen yellow Boosts.
Those are aged.
I worry about it. Can you clean it with your product?
Once it's yellow, and I don't think you can even use the Soul Sauce stuff.
What about the Defender Spray?
That'll help. I mean, we did a pair of the NMDs all white. She got me a pair at the event, the Phoenix event. And I was nervous because I hadn't worn them. She bought them for me. I didn't want to ruin them. But we did a Defender video on them recently where we poured, I think, Gatorade or something on them. Well, they came out. They did nothing happened to them.
And even, the hey, wait, hold on. And even if the Gatorade set in, guess what? Throw them in the washing machine with the rejuvenator.
Got it.
And so that's what's good about the Defender or the water stain repellent, is because it'll avoid them from getting stained. So even if they get dirty, you just clean them and they should be fine.
So are there, because you guys do not offer any product similar to Soul Sauce. I mean, that's.
We used to, but I'll be honest with you. There's a high demand for it.
Yeah.
We used to sell a lot, but to me, it's not all about making money. There's too many little kids that want to buy that stuff. They'd come up to us at shows, some 11-year-old kid. Yeah, I want, we called it Soul Glow. And I'm getting the chills just talking about it because I would talk them out of it.
Yeah.
I would talk to parents, you don't want to use this. There's a high chance you can ruin your shoes if you don't use it right. On top of that, it's such a process that if you don't have patience, you're going to be contacting us saying, hey, this isn't working.
Yeah.
Because it takes, especially for icy bottoms, it takes weeks
of
being in the sun.
And, really?
Oh, it's such a pain in the ass.
So I've always seen it in just if I have to go outside with my shoes, I'm not doing it.
And that's the thing. And just too many kids. And it was just more of a liability than it was worth offering the product. So I just scrapped the whole thing. At the end of the day, it's, you know, let someone else sell it to them. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, is there any product that slows the yellowing process down?
I haven't found that out yet.
But you're working on it.
Coming soon. I hope the water stain repellent slows it down.
Yeah.
It's just hard to, you know, it's hard to tell. I don't normally keep shoes long enough for it to notice. I don't know. You'd have to like buy two pairs or at least spray one shoe and not the other and then just let them sit for 2 years and see what happens.
I have a question too. Also with the shoe inserts, when you put them in the laundry, do you take out the insole first? Okay, you leave it in?
Yeah.
Because I've definitely, you know.
And it cleans that too. So, you know,
you're
walking around.
Because I'm not afraid of the washer. I'll throw something in the washer and I'll.
I'm telling you, people are afraid.
I do it all the time.
And then they use it and they're like,
but then I actually used the washer for Independence Day All Red Air Max 90s.
Mm-hmm.
They come out like DS.
Yeah.
But then when I saw the article where homeboy threw the Flyknit racers in the washer.
What happened?
Them joints came out looking like balled up paper. And I would have thought a Flyknit racer in the washer
would have
been just fine.
He definitely didn't use
it. He definitely knew. Because the shape that it came out, I was shocked.
He probably put him in the dryer.
Oh,
a lot of people.
Yeah, you shouldn't ever do that.
No,
because of the glue.
Yeah, it'll melt.
I learned that when I was 12.
Yeah, and don't use hot water when you wash them, because that's what I thought when I was like 17, 18. I was cleaning up. Ooh, let me see if I can get these cleaner by using hot water, and it melts the glue and the sole separator.
Really?
Oh,
so you
and
have to use
turns
cold
it yellow
water
too.
Yeah. So, but also if you look at the bag, for people that own Rejuvenator, they'll see the whole time, if you think about it, the whole time it's in the washing machine, this is rubbing up against the shoes. It's cleaning the shoe the whole time.
Okay.
So it's actually scrubbing them in the washing machine.
That's what the towel was doing, that you basically, the way you put them in there. So, I mean, you should already know that.
Because I would, like, wrap each individual shoe in a towel, throw them in there, and I would do that. But, like, I figured since the Air Maxes were, like, hyperfused, it would be better on those. Because then, like, you know, had one of those nights in Scottsdale where, like, what you drunk came back out. And it was all over my, like,
juice boxes, lemonade.
They were all over my, whatever. They were some Timberlands. They weren't boots, but they were, like, some boat shoes or something. I was like, let me just throw these joints in the washer. Man, they came out looking like beef jerky. Like, they just weren't the same after
certain
that.
Certain leather like that, I mean, you can't really.
Oh, so you can't throw like a Timberland in the bag?
You don't want to do like Sperry's. Now it's too heavy anyway.
Oh, really? So you can't throw a Sperry in there?
I mean, it depends on the leather. You don't want that leather Sperry. You can throw canvas Sperry's and stuff.
Okay. Yes, it was a leather Tim, and then like it came out. I mean, it looked just like Death Valley. It was the driest.
Leather's so easy to clean though. You don't need to put it in the washing machine. Really, the only thing I put in the washing machine is mesh, because you have to get mesh clean. You have to get water behind that dirt. Get it out, or otherwise you're just rubbing dirt further into the material. And certain shoes that are harder to clean,
and that's true about the leather. I mean, I should have cleaned it by hand, but like I said, a lot went inside of me. And a lot came.
Okay, let's skip that topic.
I see. That would be a tough one.
I wasn't even trying to
give us a list next. Two Jaeger bombs.
Joe's Pizza.
Had that Joe's
chili cheese fries.
I'm sure you're not the only one sitting here that that's happened to.
Hey man, I've thrown away shoes while being out.
I can actually vouch for that
because he throws away brand new things if he doesn't like them. So I know that happened.
I drove home. My friend drove while I was inside the trunk. That's a story for another podcast. All right. I woke up at a Del Taco. Dazed and confused.
One of them nights. So what? You talked about being in stores and whatnot, but what stores are you in locally? So the listeners here local know where you're at.
We're in Guest List, Arizona Mills Mall. Ben had those. Where else? Where's discussing it with you?
Ben had those Guest List. Soul Assassin
in
Tempe.
Yep, Tempe. And then I spoke with the guy at Manor. He wants to carry local product.
Jeremy's a good dude.
Yeah, local. Yeah. He was super cool. I stopped in there last week. So
okay, but then it can obviously hit the website.
Yeah, website for sure. The thing about the website is we offer more products on the website. A lot of stores, they don't carry the full line.
Yeah, when I looked on the website, I was surprised at how much was on there. I was like, oh geez, I thought it was just the laundry kit, a cleaner, a few brushes. It's a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah.
And several different packages that you can purchase too, right? Mm-hmm.
Just depending on, you know, how detailed you want
to
get.
And then you can buy like replacement brushes. Yep. I'm assuming that's what that is, right?
Yeah. Right. And I encourage everyone to go to their website. It's an actual nice website. You know, there's a lot of things sneaker related you go to, and the websites are awful. Okay. This is a very nice, well put together website. So I definitely encourage everyone to go check it out.
Because earlier you mentioned something about testing. So what was the testing process as far as like, did you actually go out to bid for different chemicals or different things? Or how does it work? How did that work started, for you?
Originally, all I had, I didn't even have a cleaning solution. Originally, all I had was a brush, shoe trees, and the bag. I didn't even have a cleaning solution. I used Dawn back in the dish soap.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So this is before I really got really involved in sneakers. I always owned hundreds of pairs, you know, but I just bought what I liked. I didn't buy what was cool or what was an investment. So as soon as I came out with it, though, 99% of the people were like, well, where's the cleaner? Oh, well, I better come up with a cleaner then. So I just did research. I obviously went to the leading people in the brand, and I saw what they were using, and then I just did research. I tried a bunch of different things and then just had a company, you know, formulate
all right. my own.
Long process?
I mean, yeah. That wasn't that bad. There was other, you know, it's just been such a steep learning curve that, you know, it's taken a while to perfect it, and it's still not perfected. I mean, we're constantly improving our products. If you were to have seen the first version of this to now, I mean, this is like the fourth one, you know.
Really?
It's constantly, you know, you have to constantly improve.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot of it, too.
So what got you into sneakers?
You know, just
and
being
when?
A kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always been into sneakers. Oh,
so, she buys
Jordan
a lot
fan?
For them, though.
Yeah, she does.
She's the pusher. She's the pusher.
She just buys the shoes.
Oh, no, man. You've named about three or four that she bought you.
Yeah, Royal One. She does well.
She buys heat, too.
Yeah,
super heat.
She's a keeper.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite shoes that you own? Childhood, now?
That's a tough one. I mean, I'm into four Jordans. I'm into ones are my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's one of the most comfortable, and it's just, you know, it's classic. And you can wear it with
everything. You can wear it with everything.
Yeah.
Do you have any Lows, the ones that just
– I do.
Like the OG One Lows that just came out.
I do. I have the Bred Lows.
You don't like them?
I mean, I do like them, but not like
– See, besides Ultra Boost and NMD, that's my favorite shoe right now.
Really?
Oh, I love all those OG One Lows. I have all
He sold all his high lows. All those OG highs.
Not all of them. I still have the Royals and the Black Toes, but if the Black – I haven't decided what to do with the Royals yet, but if the Black Toes come out, I'll probably sell
them. He's a 12.
Let's make some deals.
Looking.
Royals I would want in highs. I've had so much bad luck in getting them. I had like actually two band ones, and then it was like nice. And I sold them.
I still have the black and red ones.
I mean, I had the band ones with the X on the back. Right. I had two of them.
Thanks for reminding us. We appreciate that.
Sold them, one of the worst decisions ever. And then it's like,
they're now coming back out this year.
Now I just can't get my hands on anything. Like, I can't get my hands on any of the high ones. Well, I got shadows, but that was literally like a whim. Like, just walking.
I got your shadows.
What'd you pay
for? Yeah. Oh, I did sell them to you.
Shadows were selling a year and a half ago for $200, and now they're like $500.
Yeah.
Like you said, Boost, runners, things like
runners,
that.
Runners, so. Air Max have always been a favorite of mine, you know. So it really just depends. I kind of change depending on, you know, my mood.
So there's something that you don't own that you
really want?
Really want.
Looking for.
Besides Pinnacle 4s that you just got?
I mean, the only reason I bought those, honestly, I do like 4s. But just because it was a good deal.
How are those in person?
Yeah, I was gonna, pretty soft. About the like horsehair on there. That was my Matter. Only issue
it's
with those.
It's not that noticeable.
Oh, maybe you left already.
Okay. Because I do like them. I just that's a hitter. I'm not paying that retail price. No,
I mean,
thank you.
Yeah. So they're worth more money than I paid. So that's mainly the reason I
exactly.
got them.
Well, I was shocked that they were pre-sale $650. Like a $400 shoe selling for $250 over retail? Come on now.
Or, I mean, are they selling higher now? I haven't even looked.
I'm sure prices have gone down by now. That's just how it works with Jordans. But
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, just wearing the Jordans is – I mean, I like to buy them. I mean, like they said, like I golfed in a pair of Infrared 6s. That's like my grail. Mm-hmm. I golfed in a pair just so I could, like, open a new pair and wear it. And, like – I golfed in it, and it got muddy and trashed, and I just wiped it off, and it was perfectly fine. So I still have, like, 5, 6, 7 DS black and reds.
What we try to tell people is they make shoes to go on your feet and walk miles and miles in. They make them durable. Don't be afraid to wear them. Just take care of them.
Put on your blacks and threes. Run a marathon. Throw them in the washer.
Problem is that, like, I mean, we have other jobs as well.
Uh-huh.
I dress up every single day. So, like, my only time to wear them is on the weekends. Yes. So when I do wear them on the weekends, I love to just slip on something easy. I throw on a Yeezy. I mean, that's out there, but like it's easy to throw on. You throw on an NMD, you throw on an Ultra Boost, you just throw it on. So like throwing on a Jordan, I feel like I actually have to like
work.
Yeah, I have to like look for what I'm gonna wear to look fine with this. Because if you got the wrong jeans with a pair of Jordans or something, or you got some shorts that don't look right.
Okay, don't wear shorts with Jordans ever. All right.
Well, you can wear shorts with a Jordan 3 or a Jordan 4.
Okay, you're not 6'6".
I don't. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Which is why.
Don't ever
wear shorts. Which is why I don't wear
shorts. This is actually a tip for everyone listening out there. If you are not 6'4" taller, do not wear shorts with Jordans ever.
No, you can wear some.
Low OG ones, maybe, and that's it.
Okay. You're not 6'4". Actually,
I don't wear Jordans with shorts. 5'11".
I don't know.
Man. I've seen you wear Jordan 3s or shorts.
I've seen you wear Jordan 3s or shorts.
Okay, neither one of you ever seen me. You may have seen me wear
Jordan
3s.
Jordan 4s.
No, you haven't.
You wore them to the fight at his house.
No, I didn't. Why would I wear shorts to Greg's house?
Well, maybe you were going to get on the flipping side.
I don't know. It was hot. I don't know.
Is that when the fight was? I thought it was like, I guess September or whatever.
Mayweather Pacquiao. That was September.
I'm sure I wore pants.
All right, so once again, IGs, Twitters, Snapchats.
Rejuvenator, Rejuvenator.
And is it?
We thank you guys for coming through. Thank you guys for talking to us. Yeah. You know, we definitely, you know, be using the product. We definitely appreciate it. Like we said, we definitely want to talk to local people first. You know, we hopefully, you know, that, you know, we hope to be going somewhere, you know, a lot bigger, things like that. Yeah, we're glad to see and
be
glad
happy
to know.
Come back.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. You know, a few guests we have had have enjoyed it. So
we can are you guys plan on doing YouTube versions or?
Yeah, we actually have it on YouTube right now. It's just that it's kind of like slower right
he
now.
Means like
no,
video.
We were thinking about actual videos. Yeah.
Yeah, we actually been thinking about it. We've been thinking about it.
There's
like
a couple
seeing what
things.
We can do. So we're kind
Internet
of figuring
radio
something
or that.
Okay.
Right now, our heaviest traffic that we do for listeners right now is on iTunes, and we're doing really good on Stitcher right now. So, and our website holds the podcast on it as well, so you can go to the website. But, like, our website right now is based, like, just, like, sneaker tips. Like, we put, like, every single store that we actually shop at. We actually bought product from. We have, like, sneaker convention etiquette. We really want to make sure that we support Rejuvenator, and, you know.
That's what's up.
Add the website. We can add the link to their website.
Oh, definitely. We'll add everything to our website and things like that. You know, we definitely appreciate you coming through, and thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. All
right, thanks.
Cool. Oh, what are we talking about?
No, I was watching videos today with Khaled and on Hot 97. It was pretty funny. I was watching like the old videos when he first said, "You're a liar." Almost fell out of my chair. It was like every time he came to the show, he said something different. Like, "You're a liar" was in 2013. Then in 2015, it was another one. And then in 2016, which was like just last week or something, it was recent. they were like asking him to say all the same stuff over again. But I guess those interviews is like where he became popular from. Like,
hey, don't people knew. Don't it was, play yourself.
But, I mean, Khaled is out here like super winning,
okay? Super winning,
like super winning. He's going on tour with Beyonce.
He was talking about this is and this is what Sneak Diss needs. So fans listening, he was talking about Snapchatting. Being at the iPhone store or Apple store, just getting his phone fixed. The next thing, now obviously he's making these things up, but because it's Khaled. But he said 10,000 fans at the mall, standing outside the Apple store, waiting for him to come out, trying to see what he's doing. Now, obviously, there was not 10,000 people there. That's an exaggeration. But when you Snapchat something and people just show up just to see you and hang out with you, yeah, that's what we need.
You played yourself.
He didn't play himself. He made it.
Yeah, we need a Snapchat of us going, spending money and taking L's.
When he said we the best, I thought he was lying. And then apparently I'm wrong.
Hey, man, I told you Khaled was lit. No, you didn't believe.
You didn't believe.
Khaled's there's a difference between like what y'all were, how y'all were worshiping him, and just like what he's accomplished.
It's like, now, it's like my father, Martin Luther King, and then DJ Khaled.
Yes, he's your spirit animal. He's your spirit animal.
He's a personal friend of mine.
Yes.
Watering those plants.
He's a funny person, but I'm not following his life goals or anything.
So, considering we're talking about Khaled, celebrity influence. We kind of talked about this a little bit in the thread. Why is it so popular?
So, what it started with is, and you know, listeners, hit us up on social media, please, because this is basically a discussion about you. Why sneakerheads care so much about those, this is where it started from, but those Drake 10s, OVO black 10s versus NYC black 10s, when the NYC shoe probably looks better, to be completely honest with you, and pairs on eBay this morning before it released were under retail for sale.
What?
Under you didn't retail. Say that. I said retailer under retail. That's what I said.
I thought you meant like on Flight Club or something. I mean, like on
Twitter eBay. Pairs actually going before the release this morning for under retail.
See, you know,
and they got the owl on them.
400. No, I'm talking about. You're saying why they go for that much?
Yeah, got that owl on them.
But which is why
y'all people got to switch it up because that's outrageous.
Which is why, because I'll tell you, those OVO 10s, they're awful. Like, I don't care what anybody says.
Trash.
Okay, I don't care what anybody says. They're awful. The materials are tacky.
Drake, to be honest with you, Drake's, what he wears is kind of corny. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I mean,
and look,
his outfits are kind of corny.
I don't want to speak for everybody up here, but I'm a Drake fan.
Oh, so am I. Okay. The music is
Drake fans.
Flame emojis.
Music-wise. But he's not somebody I think of that, like you said, that dresses.
Neither is Kanye now, the last year and a half or whatever. But yeah, Drake just looked. I mean, Kanye has ill-fitting clothes, but he has ill-fitting clothes on purpose. Drake kind of sometimes looks to me like he has ill-fitting clothes on accident, which is not the kind of ill-fitting you want.
No.
I never know what direction he's going. Like, I don't ever know, like, what he... I mean, if he's not just wearing some just regular pants, sneakers, and, like, a varsity jacket, it looks awful. If he's, like, wearing a sweatshirt or something...
Is he short? Is that maybe that's why?
I don't think he's that short. I don't think so.
I don't know.
His pants are, like, too long, too baggy at the bottom.
Well, he wears, like, Tim's.
Don't look right.
You would think he could find a tailor, okay, no matter how tall he is.
Yes, obviously, he has quite a bit of money.
Maybe he's just like what we say, like, you're just so rich. Like, I don't care what I wear. Like, you're going to like it. Because OVO 8s, OVO 10s, and OVO 12s are awful.
Drake is 6 foot.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that. But he might be like 5'10".
That's like me saying.
Kanye West is 5'8".
I believe that.
That I believe.
That's why he actually might be
shorter than that.
They're not supposed to. He's just small.
Because
who was that? Okay, because we had Brendan in here that one time, and he was talking about like a lot of these ideas that he's saying Kith is 2 years behind and stuff like that. And like that, those ideas are coming from Raf Simons and who's the other one with Adidas?
He said Elliot.
Well, yeah, John Elliot. But the other one who has the thing with Adidas. The like whack shoes that we always make fun of. There you go.
Rick Owens.
Sorry. So he was saying like mainly Owens and Raf Simons are the ones doing that. And I think that Raf Simons lookbook was the one I was telling you about where it was like some nerd walking down the street in the lookbook and the sweater, sleeves were Shaquille O'Neal on like a 5'10" person. All right. I do not. People were the lookbook pictures online, and people in the background were looking at the man in the picture like he was insane, and he was the model.
I don't
don't understand how that flies. That type of like sweatshirt reminds me of like, you know, it reminds me of like when like we was younger days and we like to go visit girls and they just chilling at the house and they got like a giant hoodie on. They got a giant sweatshirt on. That's what I remember. I remember like being in high school, college, like, yo, let's go see this girl. And she's just chilling in the house with like somebody's giant hoodie on. Like, I don't understand how that's fashion. I don't get it, because Kanye kind of pretty much started the like slim wear of like,
yeah, he likes to take credit for it, but I mean, yeah,
I mean like obviously it started elsewhere, credit,
but I'm sure there's others.
I'll give him credit for it in like the urban hip hop.
He also thinks that he brought retros back when he's a complete fool
that's nonsense.
But yes, Kanye was the one. You know, I think he said it in a record or interview or something. He was the one that made it cool to wear skinny clothes. Lil Wayne was doing it too.
Yeah, I think
he was doing it more like some wild type stuff, and probably Young Thug has taken it to like a completely another level.
That's a fact. He's actually wearing dresses, so I mean, hey,
and he's one of Simple's idols. When he comes back in, he can discuss his boy Young Thug.
Hey, I like Young Thug music.
No, no, you said music.
Sometimes
I would never dress like Young Thug. Young Thug wears baby t-shirts and skinny jeans and pink Jordan 12s.
Maybe you don't wear like skin tight skinny jeans, but you wear thin jeans. I don't even know what to call them.
I wear skinnies.
They're between skinnies and slims. Nah, you don't wear like
skinny. As you guys like to say, I look like a grenade.
Well, mine actually say skinny in them.
Yeah, well, they must be like skinny baggy then, because they're not skinny like straight. They're not what I when I see like a
skinny boot cut,
like Lil Wayne,
like an emo
wearing.
Kid. Emo kids wear like the actual skin tight, like
the
jeggings.
Real skinny. Like, but
I'm over my Young Thug kick.
But, oh, original question: celebrity? Yeah. Why does celebrity matter? Like, why does right now we have Rihanna who has those them like slide ons or whatever those
the Pumas.
The Pumas, like, they're just like house shoes. They look like, and they're just furry on top.
They're trash.
Sold out everywhere.
The ones, Kylie's, trash.
You could get those, Rihanna slipper, furry slippers.
I know what you're talking about now.
Them joints are like, my mama and them was wearing them, like, for years. Like, these ones just say Puma and Rihanna, but they're sold out everywhere. Like, why does that matter so much for something? Like, I don't get why now celebrity influence on sneakers is so high, when like back in the day Jay-Z, 50 Cent, them, they're the original sneaker people who had like an actual
those
sneaker
S Carters or S Dot Carters or whatever sold. I mean,
G Units,
they did.
G Units didn't sell.
No, G Units sold.
They didn't
not
sell
out.
G Units sold out. Facts.
Reebok G Units sold out.
Reebok G Units sold out. Now once
I mean the price point was lower too.
Now once Reebok G Units got to like the third version, then they stopped selling
out. Right.
I mean, I remember being able to go into the store.
There wasn't hype on them like there is on Kanye.
Well, no,
stuff,
but yes, I even remember.
It's because it was plain, simple, and sucked.
I remember being able to go to Finish Line, and I picked up like the first version of the Pharrell ice cream shoes that he did at Reebok. Not like the beeper shoes and things like that, but like the ice cream. I mean, I remember picking them up for $19.99 on the sale rack at Finish Line.
They're like, but that was probably like within like the last 6 years, maybe.
Oh no, that was like 2004, 2005.
Okay. And see, but that's that might have been when like Pharrell stuff started fading away, because ice cream.
It went away for a long time.
It went away for
back
a while.
No, like, it went away like 2007. Like I think like 2001 to 2005 was when Bape and Ice Cream BBC was at its. Like it was popular before that. But
yeah, well,
it's hyping them in the U.S.
The Neptunes were
exactly
hot.
Yeah.
When was the last? And obviously, Pharrell's still producing stuff. But when was the last time the Neptunes did anything, at least notable?
Yeah, we need a new NERD track or
I need a new
album.
NERD album.
Nah.
But I don't understand why a Jay-Z. I mean, obviously, there's other reasons. But like, why couldn't that continue? Like, why didn't it continue? It started with a Jay-Z, and then it just, like, faded away.
I think it's unexplainable to me why Kanye has the following in, I mean, it's almost like the Beatles. Well, I'm saying just in general, like, where Jay-Z or, I don't know, pick Icon, Dr. Dre, Snoop, whatever. Now, granted, Snoop and Dr. Dre dress terribly, and they don't care about fashion, but I mean, those guys are icons and been around longer than Kanye. So I don't know if it's because he's controversial or this new generation just loves the guy, man. I do not get it.
I mean, there was – I saw on social media – I think I sent you guys this in one of the sneaker groups. This man, a grown man, probably in his mid-30s, got a text from his sister that Kanye West was in a gym in New York, left work, and sat outside of the gym waiting for Kanye West to come out so he could get a picture and have his Black 750 Boost signed. Like, a grown person. If somebody texts me and was like, yo, Kanye West is at EOS Fitness downtown in Phoenix, I'd be like, oh, that's tight. Like,
no, not, you wouldn't. You
okay, all right. You would sprint down there.
I get on the light rail down there
because I'm right down the street from there, and I might walk down there just to see. All right,
people our age shouldn't be asking anyone for autographs. I mean, that might be different because I grew up in LA and saw celebrities a lot, and it just like it doesn't register with me anymore.
You were rich, so you were like you were a childhood TV star.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
So you were on Lassie. So.
I was the dog.
Yeah, no, I can't go up to nobody asking for autographs.
Okay, but like, if I saw Charles Barkley,
I feel like a grown man asking for a man for autographs is like a grown man taking a baseball glove, to a baseball game.
Facts.
All right.
And see, my thing is like, because I just one example, I saw Greg will know how much this meant, but I saw Talib Kweli in the airport in Vegas a long time ago, but he was obviously a celebrity, favorite MC of all time. All I did was dap him, shake his hand, said I appreciate the music. And, you know, he looked like he was, like, furious over, like, a ticket or something. Like, when you're in the airport and you look like that, something happened. You missed a flight or they messed your ticket up. So he would just said I appreciate it and kept moving. I mean, that was it.
I think that's all I would do.
I actually met Charles Barkley on my 22nd birthday, absolutely shit-faced drunk. He was pulling into the valet at Scottsdale. I went up to his door of his Range Rover and opened it. I opened his door while he was waiting for the
not,
valet.
I'm not surprised. I don't know about Greg.
I'm lucky that I wasn't the second man that he threw through a glass window. But
he's a fan out here, fan over there.
Man,
I couldn't do that.
Fan,
I
was like, fan boy
was,
over there.
I mean, I was like, you're Charles Barkley. He's like, yeah, I'm Charles Barkley. I was like, oh, man. Gave me a hug. He was like the nice guy, one of the nicest guys I've ever met in person.
Shaking hands, I can do.
I got a hug.
Like, Ghostface, met Ghostface and Raekwon at a concert. Shook their hand, kept going. And them to me, those are my favorite rappers of all time. Well, Ghostface is my favorite rapper of all time. But I don't know. I mean, even if it was a Kanye, I think I would just be more satisfied with like actually seeing him in person, which I don't even know why. I mean, but back to sneakers. Like, I
would
don't
you ask
understand
him for the shoes off his feet.
No, but I would say like, yo, if you got something in the back, but man, I would say it in a joking manner, so then I could say like, oh, I was just joking, but I'm really serious. Anyways,
give him a card with your address on it. But hey, if you ever got anything,
I don't know. Like nowadays, considering like how out of control paparazzi and people are in general, I would feel bad bothering somebody like a Kanye who people are constantly in his face all day. I would feel bad. Like, hey, man, like, I just would. Like, maybe not feel bad, but I feel like
you're pestering him.
Yeah, I don't want to be – I wouldn't want him to walk out of here. If he walked in this room right now and we were like, oh, Kanye, take a picture, sign this – I wouldn't want him to walk out of here and get in his car and be like, oh, my God, grown men, nerds.
Get on the mic and talk.
We'd probably ask him something like that first. Like, I'd want him to, like, participate in the podcast first before I'm like, sign this, sign that. Plus, considering how much Yeezys are worth, you're not writing on my shoe. I don't care if it is Kanye West.
Well, the funny thing is that kid that got it signed immediately reposted it in the group, I think, like a week later, asking for people to trade for mags. And people were like, yeah, Kanye signed your shoe. He signed shoes all over New York City. They might be worth $200 to $250 more than what they were before he signed them.
You shouldn't even sell your shoe if you got it signed by Kanye.
No.
Like, you just shouldn't. There's certain things that, like, you have to keep forever, and that's one of them. That's like getting the jersey signed by Jordan.
No, I wouldn't care. Jordan, yes. Kanye, no. That, which I was just going to say.
You might not care about it, but I don't think I would sell it. I would just, hey, that's Kanye. Like, you just never know where else he's going, like, as far as, like, celebrity and fame and music and everything. So I would say, like, even if I wasn't, like, the hugest fan on earth, if he signed it, I just feel like out of respect, like, that he took the time to sign it, I'm just going to keep it. I might not do anything with it. It's going to sit in the closet, like a Jordan jersey. I'm going to throw it in, and it's going to stay in the closet forever. A Shaq.
In the closet? Something.
What am I going to do with it?
Frame it. If Charles Barkley signed a jersey for me, I wear it under my clothes every day.
I'm not into stuff like that, like framing my jerseys. I'm just not. Like, it's,
if you had a signed Michael Jordan, you wouldn't go get a nice shadow box frame and throw it on a wall somewhere.
I don't know.
Even
why.
If it's in your closet, like above your Jordans in your closet, you're not doing that.
No, why?
Michael Jordan signed a jersey.
It doesn't matter.
If you had a Jordan basketball, you put it in a basketball case.
I had an Oakley poster signed by Jordan and literally threw it in the trash. These are 100%
You throw everything. You throw perfectly good peanut butter and jelly that is sealed in the trash.
Yes. And bowls and
stuff. First of all, if a peanut butter and jelly is sealed, I'm not eating it. All right. If I didn't make the peanut butter and jelly, I make my own sandwiches. If I can't,
I'm talking about the peanut butter jar. You don't jelly in the jar.
Sealed things home. I threw jam away. I won't eat jam. I'll throw that in the trash. But jelly, I keep. These are facts. But anyways, but like I was saying, back to the original topic, like, why? Why celebrity? Why does it matter? Like, when you put on a pair, you worn those Yeezys yet?
Nah.
Okay. Now, I will admit, when I throw on a pair of Yeezys, you actually, and I don't want to sound stupid, but it feels like I got on Yeezys. It just does. Like, it feels like.
Yes, like the cobbler. You turn into Kanye.
Well, it's just the fact that, like, I know if I walk out of the house wearing these, I'm probably not going to run into somebody else that's wearing them. That's basically what it comes down to. If I walk out the house wearing a Jordan, odds are, depending on where I'm going, somebody else is going to have this Jordan. If not this Jordan, something equivalent.
Okay.
I can go to a mall, any mall in Arizona. I could go to any popular place, any event, and I might not run into anybody else wearing a Yeezy. And that's something to be said. I've never seen anybody walking around wearing an OVO yet. Like, not to say that nobody has them, but I've never seen anybody wearing an OVO. I've only seen people wearing Yeezys at a sneaker event. That's it. I haven't seen, like, anybody just walking down the street wearing a Yeezy or, like, at the mall wearing a Yeezy yet. Like, it matters, I guess. I mean, celebrity matters. If I was Nike and everybody else, I would be out here trying to sign these celebrities and get these celebrity lines made as fast as possible. I think the one problem I do feel with, like, Nike.
Well, the size runs they're making don't matter. I mean, it matters for hype as far as that shoe. But, like, today is a perfect example. You would think people who can't get that Drake 10 are buying the.
Right.
Not resellers, obviously, but people who wanted it. I mean.
I think that NYC does look better than the Drake one. The Drake shoe was awful. Like, it's just an ugly shoe. I'm sorry. It's not. The materials are whack. That Stingray material is ugly. It's not a good-looking shoe, white or black. Like, it just doesn't matter. And the fact that, like, there's an 8 and a 12, and they're all made of the exact same material, I don't understand the eight, behind it.
Yeah, 8's just your.
I don't understand why 8's couldn't be something, a completely different colorway, or why 12's couldn't be completely different. The 10s, 12s, and 8s are the exact. They're different models, but it's the same Stingray, black, white. It's awful. Like, gold, whatever. But, hey, man, I guess that's neither here nor there. But, like, you still have Adidas that has 2 Chainz, Big Sean, Pusha T.
Pharrell.
Pharrell.
Their most lucrative clientele.
Nego. Which I don't even know how. I mean, I guess, but the problem is, like, Pharrells don't sell, like, out. Like,
but they don't need to sell out when you sell commercial numbers of them. That's the thing.
Oh, you know, I'm thinking of a different version of, like, the Pharrell Stan Smiths. Because, like, the colored Stan Smiths sold, but, like, the ones that had, like, the polka dots and stuff on them, I say those at the outlet.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
the last time I was at the outlet, they had every single one of those Pharrell color shoes. Now, they were sized, like, 15 to 22. Which I don't even know why they made those, but they are there.
Like, do you, like, with Adidas, now this is just from what I think, based off of somebody important from Adidas liking my comment off the Sneak This Twitter page, but I had made the comment on the Sneak This Twitter page that a Pusha T, a Big Sean, and a 2 Chainz needs their very own model. And somebody that works for Adidas liked that comment. Which gives me the assumption that maybe they agree and maybe that's coming. I don't understand how.
They better have Boost.
They all better have Boost. Every single Adidas shoe should have Boost.
Like, there should not be a Boostless shoe.
There just shouldn't. I mean, I just don't see how a 2 Chainz shoe would sell out of a model that's been out. I think that model that the 2 Chainz shoe has been out since like 79.
Big Sean shoe.
Big Sean's shoe is the same thing. I think been out since like 83. Like it's a model of a specific shoe that
Pusha T. What was that? The top 10? His was.
I think 2 Chainz was top 10. Big Sean was
high.
It might be top 10 too.
It might have been a top 10, yeah. And then you had Pusha T with a EQT 93. What else? For obviously all Pharrell stuff.
Pharrell's Stan is like Smith and Shell Toes.
Stan Smith and the
and
Nigos.
Nigos stuff is the same thing. Shell Smith. I mean Shell Toes and Stan Smiths. But I just don't see why a Big Sean. Oh, original Big Sean was pro model Shell Toes, all reds with the pyramids. Had the pyramid on the shoelaces.
That shoe sucks.
It's a nice shoe.
I'm saying, like, in 2016, no one's wearing
a shell toe? Shell toes. I just wore a shell toe last weekend.
A shell toe is fine.
You probably also smoked crack last week.
No, that was 2 weeks ago. I was still high on the crack when I wore the shell toe.
I don't know, man. I will say, shell toes have made a comeback as far as, like, people in their clothing. But, like... crackheads do wear shell toes.
Hey, if you can't, pull a superstar out of the closet and wear it.
No, you're absolutely right. Like you should have a Stan Smith or a shell toe in your closet. I do strongly believe that. Now, I look at it as like, why does a Kanye get a special model shoe and not a Pharrell, not a Pusha, not anything. Like to me, the Pusha T shoes,
different level of celebrity.
But the problem is they all sell out. Why does a Pusha T EQT sell out? Those joints are always popping up on Kicks deals for cheap. But a Pusha T,
well, the white ones are expensive.
The black ones you can get retail. No,
you
less.
Can, yeah, but they should have never sold out in the first place. Like I just don't see why. Yeah. And a Pusha T is probably in my top six rappers of period. Which we'll probably have another discussion about that another day. But why did this sell out? Why does a Big Sean – and Big Sean's shell toe wasn't even like a shell toe low. It was a pro model.
Every shoe he did is terrible.
Was high. They're not terrible. They're just not
– if you think a Jordan whatever 6 is too bulky,
you're right.
Everything they, but right. that guy made
now,
is
Now, I'll
bulky.
Admit, the 2 Chainz version of the top 10,
yeah,
awesome. All right, and I wear them every once in a while, but
black
they are too
and, black and gold is hard to mess up.
Yeah, it's true, but it's very high quality suede, like suede all the way to the sole of the shoe, and it's a great shoe, but it is too bulky and it's too big. But I just don't. But like we said, we just don't understand the allure of the celebrity and the sneaker. Like I don't know. I mean, like you said, it's a good point of why if I couldn't get an OVO, I don't see like if I really tried to get a black OVO, why wouldn't I go get an NYC 10?
Exactly.
So, I guess we could do this then. Now, we like to do our top fives. Who in the past? Actually, you know what? In our lifetime, who are the top five most influential celebrities or athletes that have affected the culture of sneakers?
I mean, there's not celebrity wise.
You're talking about everyone.
Everyone. Athletes or celebrities?
Like, well, Jordan's number
obviously
one,
Jordan's number one.
He owns part of the company. It also depends if you're talking about pure numbers and money, or if you're talking about just like general. Because you can call Kanye an influencer on
following
society,
yeah,
but you can't. I don't think you can call him an influencer on Adidas's bottom line because what he's selling is not making a dent on their bottom line.
I'm talking like
and
society.
That's
like,
been
like the culture, like
whoa. Yeah. Well, number two would probably have to be Kanye. Then
it wouldn't be number two. Number two would have to be Wale. If I'm going to think anybody, Wale is the one, and I'm not going to say he's single handed.
What? Just because he's worn stuff and been in.
Yeah, but Wale has been out here wearing stuff forever. Like, Wale is probably that one person to wear, like, if you have something in your closet and you're like, I'll never wear that again.
And Wale wore it.
You'll see Wale wear it and like, oh, no, it doesn't look that bad. You will try to figure out how to wear it.
You want
to
know what Wale got me on?
Dunks?
Camo Hyperposites.
What is that?
Wale wore the one that I just saw. Wale, I saw Wale wear camo Hyperposites.
The Statue of Liberty shoe.
Oh, and I was like, oh, Wale can do it. I'm white and like 5'8 or 5'9. I can do it too. Like,
but this is a problem.
I'm going to grow dreads. I'll get some skinny jeans.
Yeah, but see, this
a jersey.
This is the thing with a Wale and a shoe like a camo Hyperposite. He can just literally wear whatever he wants.
Whatever he wants.
It's not going to look bad because it's like we know he has thousands of shoes. And it's like, I'm just Wale. I can wear this. He could wear red Tims, and it's like, you know, it's
he probably tight. Has. It looks foolish. And
I was expecting
Kanye on your list.
I was expecting
Kanye would be
four. I've actually probably put Pharrell. Like,
I put Pharrell before
Kanye.
Because okay. Pharrell introduced, you got your ice cream, your BBC, your Bape. That had an entire era.
Okay, so this isn't just shoes. You're talking about fashion and shoes and whatever in general.
But who you're missing and who I would have expected to be number two is Run DMC.
I mean, I guess, but I wasn't like when they ran that era of like the track.
Yeah, but Adidas has never been the number one. I mean, they were obviously in Nike's infancy in the first couple of years of Nike, but ever since then, Nike's had the market share by far.
They have. And honestly, I want to throw in an Andre Agassi somewhere.
Oh.
I do only because of, like, considering the sport that Agassi played, he was the, like, complete opposite of, like, that quintessential tennis player, like, that guy. He looked like
Andre was.
He had a lot of shoes that didn't look like tennis shoes. That was right. Part of it. Looked well, like could, hoop like, shoes or could, casual
but like
shoes
the clothes, too, like the jackets, the colors. The pants, just shorts. The colors.
He wore a lot of colors. Oh, yeah.
Like,
bright colors.
The long hair, the headbands, like Jordan is going to be always number one on anything as far as influence and sneaker wise. I mean, his sneakers started in what? When did the Jordan 1 come out? 84? 84, and they're still selling out to this day.
I think it was 85. But
85. Yeah, well, 84, 85. Yeah. They're just selling out to this day. And, I mean, that's incredible. Okay. Well,
so I guess you could round out the top five. If you're going to include Andre Agassi, then it's got to be a four-way tie between Bo Jackson, Andre Agassi, Ken Griffey Jr., and Deion Sanders. Bo Jackson?
Sneaker? I don't know, man. I think you're SC talking trainers? About all-time.
SC trainers?
Right. I understand. Like, you're talking about, I'm talking about like an influence on people. I don't think a Bo Jackson had an influence on
him. I would say Deion Sanders did then. I would say Ken Griffey Jr.
Fashion? Like clothes and sneakers and fashion?
Like, I mean, Ken Griffey Jr., like, I mean.
See, you're talking about athletes that, like, I feel change sports. Agassi, a Griffey, a Bo Jackson change sports. Like,
how about
a Deion change sports? Like, you see a guy with a Jerry Curl and gold chains, you're like, holy shit. Like,
I mean,
he made it tight.
But before Agassi, before Griffey Jr. and before Bo Jackson, nobody was buying a shoe that was designed to be a cleat as a trainer to wear out. And then, I mean, you just had Griffey, all that stuff, like trainers, backwards hats.
Right. I mean, there's things. But
I would agree. I mean, it could go anywhere. Agassi actually did change.
I think Agassi fashion. And Jordan will be the only athletes I would have in there as far as, like, influence on, like, clothing and sneakers. Like, just fashion in general. True. Those are the only two athletes I could think of. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bo Jackson dresses awful. All right. But sneakers. Like,
the sneakers are on point.
Well, so does MJ.
And it,
MJ dresses.
But it wasn't even like Bo Jackson's sneakers that like changed. It was Bo Jackson himself.
Bo Jackson as an athlete.
I mean, I would say Penny Hardaway had a bigger influence than Bo Jackson and most of those guys who are making trainers. Now, if you said Deion or Ken Griffey Jr., that's fine because they're still, you know, making retros and selling those shoes now.
I think we
Bo's they've always made, but I don't know that they've always sold.
See, I think we're talking about a separate category now. I think we're thinking of like our category that we originally started was a celebrity. So if I'm thinking of like
Kobe and LeBron would be up there too, to be honest.
They'd be up there. So I'm thinking like athlete-wise, obviously Jordan and Agassi, a Penny.
Deion.
A Deion. I don't know who else. But celebrity-wise, if you're going to go, I'm just going to put Jordan as number one. That's just legend. Number one, whatever. Because none of his sneakers are now being hooped in. They're being worn as like fashion.
Yes.
Number two, I would have to go Wale. I just would. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I mean, I don't know. I understand where you're coming from, but I don't even know if he would be in the top five for me just because
Wale?
I mean, he influenced kids to buy certain shoes, but he has had some collabs, but he's never had a clothing line like Pharrell. Like, I understand why you put Pharrell in there because he's got a clothing
line. Right.
He's never had a
clothing line
or his own design.
It's hard
situation.
To say.
So that's why I put Kanye too. Pharrell would probably be in there since he has a clothing line in addition to his Adidas stuff.
I think this is something we actually need to think about.
We might need to.
I think we need to revisit this. About it and revisit this one.
Well,
I think so because I'm thinking like, geez, like I don't know. I'm thinking of like a few other people that like I might add in that list, but I think we just we keep going with this. It can go anywhere.
Well, but tune in next week, and we'll give you our
top five.
In
something new, we're starting top fives every show.
We just did our top five.
Ooh, we're gonna revisit 2015. We're gonna revisit that.
All right. Yes,
but our top. Well, so basically, we decided that
we got input
from a listener that, you know, listeners do appreciate the top five list, the top list. So we actually decided we're gonna do that at the end of every single show, and we decided that we're gonna talk about. What are our top five sneakers of 2015?
Now this list
isn't going to be strictly sneakers. We're going to hit movies. We're going to hit music. We're
going
to hit
not on this show, but going forward. He's saying,
we're going to hit you know, celebrities, top five women, top five rock bands, whatever we got. We're going to hit that top five.
So let me ask you this: is this like sneakers, like new sneakers? Or even like a retro.
Even if it's just like a shoe.
Whatever the best thing that came out.
Whatever you consider the best in 2015. What is yours, Ryan?
I'm going to start mine. I'm going to say.
Go from five. All
right. Number five, I'm going to say would be the Ultra Boost.
Okay.
I'm going to call number five my Ultra. Actually, you know what? I'm going to say number five, HTM Kobe's. The Kobe 10, HTM Kobe 10 is my number five. Number four is going to be a Adidas Ultra Boost. Number three is going to be the Cruise.
Well, I'm surprised it's not higher.
Actually, I was going to make it higher because number two would be the 750, and number one would be the 350.
That's fair. That's not where I'm going with it, but that's fair.
That's kind of a whack list, man.
Why is that list whack?
You started really good from five to three.
And runner up would be Shattered Backboard Ones.
I think you're missing some gems. And I think when you think about it, you're gonna be like, oh shit.
Let's get your rundown. Right.
Well, if you think he's missing some gems, then you probably think I do.
I think me and you might have a similar list, excluding.
I know Cruises are gonna be on your list.
Number five is kind of.
I thought Cruises were number one on yours.
They should have been.
Number five is kind of a cheater for me because the shoe came out. The player was wearing it in 2015, but the shoe didn't release till the first week of January of 2016. But the Kobe 11. Kobe 11 is better than the Kobe 10. So to me, when he started wearing it in 2015, it counts. Kobe 11, number five. Number four, I know you don't like it. But the Air Max Zero, I got a chance to see one at HSS. I think the original colorway, by the way, not the yellow.
Mm. Trash.
Trash.
Air Max Zero, number four.
Throw it in the bin.
Number three, the Yeezy 350. Pick a colorway. I have the Pirate Blacks. I think that's number three.
Bragger.
I'm actually shocked at you guys. I'm shocked you put a Yeezy.
Are you shocked or disappointed?
I'm more shocked that George putting a Yeezy. I mean, I would have never expected that.
Comfort. Look, you name it. I mean, it's not like the Yeezy one from Nike.
That you hated them when we bought them.
No, that's not true. I said, I told y'all.
You're spewing hatred.
No, this is what I told you. Chill on buying shoes because they're Yeezys and paying over retail. When you get it for retail, it's a different story.
Hatred.
Number two, that's a fact what I said. Number two, Jordan 1 OG Lowe's. The first two colorways came out 2015.
And see, I knew that's what he doesn't realize he missed it. He doesn't realize it.
The Royals and the Black and Reds came out, and I'm putting those both on the same line because I can't pick between one. So 2 and 2A. And the number one, obviously, is the Ultra Boost. The white one, you know, multiple colorways came out in 2015. The white one is the only one I have.
Well, the model came out in 2015.
So we'll go Ultra Boost white is number one.
All right. I knew you were going to do that because I was like, he is not going to say an OG one low.
Yeah, that's my bad. Yeah, that should be in there.
My list is way different from you guys, actually. There's a few on there. Number five, Nike Hyperchase. Now.
Oh, was that the one that Harden was wearing? The one that Harden, Adidas?
Yeah, right. The last one Harden wore.
I'm fine with that.
And now I own the All-Star one, one of the worst made shoes on earth. One of the cheapest materials ever. And they had the fragment versions, the navy blue, the green. The shoe itself was off the hook. Even with jeans. What?
I actually bought a pair of the triple black ones. I bought them from the Nike outlet for like $30. It is. It's a cool looking shoe.
Shout out to J-Lo for the triple blacks.
It's a great.
I mean, J-Wow. What's her name?
Oh, don't get me started on Jersey Shore. That right there.
We'll talk about that one of these days, too.
That's a shoe that I feel was a great shoe for 2015. It was a great basketball. I mean, it just was cheaply made. It was just awful. When I got the All-Star ones, I was so excited. And then I got it. And I understand, like, a shoe being light, but it was made out of, like, nothing. It was made out of air. Number four, Concepts ASIC, which you're wearing today.
Eight balls.
I thought about
putting those on there.
Now, the shoe itself didn't come out of 2015, obviously, but, like, that Concepts collaboration with ASICS 5 for the blow pack, the shipping with, like, wrapped like as cocaine and the laces being in, like, the vial like cocaine.
Yeah, dope pack.
Awesome. Like,
pun intended.
Second to none. All right.
Okay.
Let's
see what you did there. That was nice.
Clever.
Clever.
Number three.
Dope.
Number three. Dope. That was dope.
That was dope.
Number three, Cruise. I put Cruise on there. I mean,
you had, I had Cruise.
Now, are you picking a Cruise colorway? Or are you?
No, I didn't.
Are you picking a colorway? You said in general.
In general. You all said right. Cruise shoes been the greatest shoe of 2015. Before I even owned a pair,
you said you last week it. That the Cruises were the greatest shoe of 2015.
You're right, but when I have to actually sit down and think about it,
same with
and
me.
I look through the year, I'm like, oh, you same know what? Me. Number two, Ultra Boost.
Okay.
Just
well, then we know what number one
is OG1 Bread Loaves.
Really?
I own doubles and triples of those.
Oh, those wow. are,
it's a great shoe. Like, that's one of those shoes that.
Did
like,
you have 350s on your list?
No.
I really thought 350 was going to be number one.
I thought about a 350 putting it on there, but I felt like I would just be putting it on there just to put it on there. I can't have an Ultra Boost and a 350 on there because I would rather wear an Ultra Boost over a 350 any day of the week.
So I actually might agree with you.
I figure, like, why even put it on there? But – and I actually think our lists are pretty solid, to be honest with you.
I think we do have a good list. So
I'm a little surprised at your guys' list. I would have never thought I heard a Kobe on the list.
Well,
you both had a Kobe. Yeah. Both of you had a Kobe.
I'm surprised. I
would have never thought George would have had a Kobe.
I rescind my list and put the OG
you
one
can't.
Low
it's too
at number
late.
Five.
It's already too late.
Number five.
Yeah,
that's too low anyway.
What do you put?
Ultra Boost and OG one low should be number one and two regardless be, in anyone's list.
These lists are going on our website at thesneakdisc.com.
Well, so. To our listener that suggested that, Andrew, there you go.
Yeah,
now you got our top fives.
Shout out for the good idea.
Well, I mean, episode 6, I had a lot of fun. Thank you.
In the books.
Thank you to our special guests, Steve and Katie from Rejuvenator. Again, check out their website at www.rejuvenator.com. Rejoeven, the number 8, R.com. And that's Sneak This.